Smash cut.
A technique in film where one scene abruptly cuts to another without transition.
Much like a typical conversation with me and my friends when discussing film, television, music, video games, or anything else that happens to come up. This is the idea behind the show, Smash Cuts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Smash Cuts. I'm Rich Caban. With me is Jacqueline Kemick.
Hello!
And David Maldonado.
That's me.
And it's been, it's interesting because last time we all spoke, we were reacting to the trailer of Star Wars Last Jedi. And
that's been that
now
long?
We've probably seen it.
Oh
yeah, twice. It's probably almost on video at this point.
We saw it twice. We played through the video game.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, that's
cool. Watched
so
The Mandalorian.
Crazy. We're the worst. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Baby Yoda didn't even exist in our
right?
lexicon yet.
It's the child, though. You're gonna make a lot of people angry. It's the child. It's not Baby Yoda.
I know.
Culturally, he's Baby Yoda. Everybody
I
calls
get
him.
It. But I'm just throwing it out there so nobody in the comments.
Yeah, it is the child. It is the child.
It is kind of crazy though to just hear old ladies talking about Baby Yoda, right? Like, just
did you like that Baby Yoda yesterday?
Yeah. Oh, he's so cute, that Baby Yoda.
I love Baby. I love Baby Yoda. Honestly, because we moved in December, we were like, no Disney Plus until after we're in our new home. And that was so frustrating. And it was so frustrating because I kept seeing all these memes. I was watching that damn Hamilton ripoff of what is that one?
Oh,
where
dear,
dear Theodosia, but it's
daughter.
Dear Baby Yoda.
Yeah,
yes, mm-hmm. yes, dear Baby Yoda. It was just too much. I loved it so much, and I was like, I hadn't seen it, so it is too bad that it was spoiled for me because I, like you said, Rich, it was a kind of a nice surprise at the end of the first episode. But the whole series is about it, so there's no way that you could avoid that if you weren't. If you weren't actually watching, but I have seen it since then. We're in our new home, which is amazing. But mostly amazing. So I could finally get Disney Plus and watch The Mandalorian because, it's so good. And Pedro Pascal is amazing. The music. Can we talk about the music?
The music's great. The music's great.
Oh,
yep.
Phenomenal. Yep. And
they're so well done. Every episode. So well done.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And the credits with all of the concept art is just stunning, it really feels like exactly what we've all wanted this whole time ever since 4, 5, and 6. It really is scratching the itch that nothing else has in a certain way. You know what I mean?
It's a very Sergio Leone version of the Star Wars, mm-hmm. which is cool.
It's like it's Western and it's also like Lone Wolf and Cub as well. It's like mixed
definitely.
I've seen a lot of fan art mashups of that. It's very cute.
Right? Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you guys realize, I didn't notice at all watching this, and Dave, maybe because you kind of had this background, but I had no idea that all of those sets were rear projection. Like none of those sets are real.
I didn't find out until after that show was done.
Wow.
And it's like the way they're, I still don't fully understand it.
I read a story that there was executives visiting the set, right? Mm-hmm. And it's rear projection. So it's there. So you see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the executive was laying into the producer saying, I thought we weren't going to spend a lot of money on this show because of the detail of everything.
Yeah.
And he was kind of in shock when he found out that it was, that those were all new versions of digital versions of rear projection screens, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is what they do. It's like they do it in the parks now too, is that they just project onto either geometry or like, mm-hmm. Something built into a wall or a set that's built simply. And then they project, high res images on it because these HD projectors can project out 8K imagery that looks real. If you go when you get to the parks, when you get to the parks, Rich, when you go see the the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride or whatever that is, it stops and you see like the screen and it basically plays like the characters are right in front of you. And it looks like they're there because it's projected at this super, super high resolution image that they can do now. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing that they can transfer that to,
now,
to
is that how they,
these shows now too.
Is that how they do the holograms? Because when we were last at Disney, right, which was many years ago, mm-hmm, they had a hologram of Johnny Depp, and it looked like for a second, I'm like, is he really here? Like he popped up from behind the boat. And this wasn't even on the Pirates, ride. This was just like a separate Pirates.
Hanging out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was like a weird Pirates like thing to go into. They were probably testing it, and it was, mm-hmm, and all of a sudden he just comes out, hello, everybody, you know, and you're like, and I really was like blown away by the clarity of it. So that has to be the same kind of technology.
It has to do with the projection. I mean, how they get it projected onto stuff, it could be either on like a screen or like a see-through mesh or a mirror or a pane of glass. The main thing that's changed is the delivery method, which is the imagery, the amount of detail that's in the image that is making it seem so realistic. I mean, wow, that's what, like the new rides that have the rear projection on them that, if you go on, I think I talked about it last time, there's this fucking, excuse my language, this is, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in Shanghai. You're riding through this freaking ocean and the whole, all, everything surrounding you is a projected screen, and it's that high res projected. It looks like you're out in the ocean in the middle of a battle. It's crazy.
Wait, did you go on that ride, or you were able to?
No, I just saw that. I just used to look at it on YouTube, and it's impressive on YouTube. I saw it on there too.
Yeah, I saw it on there too, and I was kind of blown away about how, and that's why for a second I said I thought you got to go. I'm like, wow, that ride did look amazing. I'm telling you, Jackie, no. YouTube has been like for rides, like the technology has finally gotten there where, if you would have saw my copy of Back to the Future that I lived with, you know, watching the ride for so many years, you know, and now it's like, I feel like I'm on the ride. It's crazy, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
that's nuts, what I was going to say about the projection, though. Doesn't it feel like, I think you went to the Amon Tobin tour, ISM? Yes. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it feel like you're just seeing that technology expanded and exploded. And I just really feel like I'd like to thank Amon Tobin and his
his stage show. I'm sure he was not the first person.
But the stage show, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was incredible. It was this awesome cubed geometric stage set, and he's a DJ, so it's not like there's a band or anything up there. And it's just him like in a spacesuit or something, and all of the projections all across it. It was the most incredible show, and
for that
to be such a memorable performance from someone who is a one man show, you know, I mean, I've been to so many concerts, you know, I mean, there's so many things, and there are some killer ones out there, but that's gotta be top five. I mean, it was so incredible.
I think Muse used that technology too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Muse did too? Yeah.
No, I was going to say, because I remember I saw a Muse in concert. I remember the same thing. It was cubes, and it was like all of these hologram. Mm-hmm. Now that I think about it, I didn't really dawn on me at the time, but the cubes would change shapes, and they would change places, and everything would kind of, it was like they were changing sets, and it was, everything was going with the music. Yeah. Wow.
He's
the first person that did that.
He probably wasn't the first, but he utilized it Jackie said.
He's the one that leaned in.
He made it awesome. He made himself part of the show that way, where he was in the center cube, and then there was a bunch of basically he was surrounded by other geometric shapes, and then there's these, you know, things that are being projected. Sometimes he's lit up and you can see him. Sometimes there's like this crazy video this imagery that's being projected on is made so that it, you know, molds with the shape of the stage. And it's just, it was incredible to behold, you know, what they could do. And they do it at the parks. You know what I mean? That's at all these parks. They're taking this technology and using it to enhance the background so they become a bit more immersive.
I can't wait to rewatch The Mandalorian now that I know about this rear projection, though, because I had no idea.
I completely took it for granted. You know,
I didn't know either. I found that after the fact. You know what? You're lucky though, Jackie, because waiting each week for an episode was really hard.
I know. That was honestly that was what held me over, because I'm like, I knew that once we got it, we would be able to see everything, because we did. We got it on the last week, so we didn't have to wait for any of it. Awesome. Which was really satisfying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're short. They're little.
I know. Yeah. You almost wish like it was like that, and that was the hardest part. Waiting each week, because it was like, as they went along, but each week you're like, God, it's too short. I need more. So you'd end up watching
more.
It was like old style, because it was like watching the same episode three or four times before the next one.
Yeah.
You know, came.
That was incredible. Bravo. It was so good that honestly I bulldozed into The Mandalorian instead of Rich's segue about the Star Wars film that came out. So what do you guys think about the movie?
I liked it. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's different aspects for everybody about what they like. I'm still in the mindset of, you know, I thought I was done. So every time they give me something new, I'm like, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back for this visit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, Richie, I could agree with that, because it's like, I was happy when we got our prequels. I saw them all in the theater. And then when we got these new ones, I was excited for Force Awakens. I mean, Last Jedi was an enjoyable experience in the theater, but the more I thought about it, I didn't really care about it as much because but you know, I didn't get angry about it. They didn't ruin the franchise. I just didn't give a shit. You know, and that's what I was sad about. I was like, you know, I don't care what happened. And then with this one, I really enjoyed it. I mean, this, you know, is it a 10 out of 10? No, but it's still, there were still some fun things, and I enjoyed my time in the theater. There were some great emotions. I liked the cameos. It pushed my buttons. And if I'm simple for liking it, then I'm simple for liking it. So I really enjoyed it. You know, it's just weird. People get so angry about this series, and it's like, fuck, man, it's Star Wars, man.
I know.
Okay. It's
like, I felt like it really landed where it needed to for this particular trilogy. I felt like it kind of brought things back on track. I agree. The second in this trilogy, I didn't like as much as the first, and even the first, I had a lot of issues with, but I still really enjoyed it. Like it, same deal. Like I'm like, yeah, I can pick this apart all day, because I have, you know, emotions and ideas, and I'm a human being, and that's fine. But once again, I didn't make this. It was made for me, and it was still really enjoyable. And I felt the same way about this one, where I really actually liked this one a lot, probably because I have been very, like, I don't know, they tell you what to expect with this tone. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like a big surprise. It wasn't something that knocked me off my feet, although there were some great action sequences. There were some great fight sequences. Mm-hmm. Some of that sword play was incredible. Some of the stuff was really on the nose and very tongue in cheek and, like, you know, winking right at you, very like fanfare. Mm-hmm. But I was okay with that, because it was wrapping up this trilogy and it felt right for this tone. If we're talking about full saga wise, obviously it's not the strongest, you know? But I really liked it. I don't know why people were all angry about it. I have things that I would like to pick apart about it, but when I say those things, it's not like out of hatred in my heart or anything. It's it's just like, you watch a movie and you're like, there's things there, you know? I mean, it was, I don't know why people got so mad about Rey and Kylo. I really felt like that was so obviously going to happen. And it was fine. And this is the whole thing. You knew he had to redeem himself. And spoiler alert, you knew he had to die, because he could not live with the things. Like, they couldn't let him live with what happened as storytellers.
Like, it's kind of like Vader. Like if Luke brought Vader back, everyone's not going to be like, hey, are you good now?
Exactly.
Yay. You know, at the end of Jedi.
No. You know, you have to do it.
If there's one thing that the thing I do have to say, and again, it's not even a complaint, but I just think the silliest thing you could do is if you announce you're going to do a new trilogy, that you don't map it out. Like, that's the most surprising thing to me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That they kind of, they had no idea where they were going at all, which even Lucas, who loosely wrote the first trilogy had an idea of what he was going to do. So that was, that's kind of like a misstep there. And then the other misstep for me is you get all of these guys together. Like to me, Force Awakens, I should have seen the whole cast reunited, you know, because I wanted to see all of them in one space. I wanted to see Luke, Han, and Leia interact with each other. And, and that's a huge missed opportunity. Because you really think about it. You know, when I first heard this, I'm like, wow, we're going to get to see Luke and Han together doing something. And the fact that they never even interacted in all three of these, even as a Force ghost, you know, even if they wanted to bring, you know, Han back at the end, is the saddest thing that they missed out on with this trilogy, especially with Carrie gone now. Man, so if that's my only complaint, but you know, so yeah, the story was fine. Lando, he looked amazing from when you see him in regular life, you know, like I was really surprised how good he looked, you know. So
although he was just kind of standing around, can't really move much.
I know, yeah.
Right, leave him alone.
He's like,
no, it's just funny because there's a couple of shots where you just kind of stand like waiting for something to happen, like everybody else was working around him, and like I was waiting for somebody to go, "You gonna do something?"
Yeah,
no, leave him alone.
That's what character-wise.
They tell him, Lando, don't whatever you do, don't dance. You saw him on Dancing with the Stars, right?
Oh no, I didn't see him on that.
No, oh my god, this was the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I love that you just assumed that both of us had seen that. Well, like, you watched Dancing with the Stars.
No, not. Well, I only said that because the clip went viral, so I didn't know. I didn't watch the show. I just saw. I was like, he's on the show, and then when he's in his Lando outfit, and I forgot what the girl was dressed up as, and to say that the Hokey Pokey looked more athletic than what he was doing. Is pretty sad. You know, like it was. You know, I mean, it was bad. Like to the point where you're like, why did he do this? You know. So yeah you get. But it was interesting to see him in his Lando outfit. But at the time, I know. But you know.
Oh, poor guy.
I know.
Sometimes people just have a hard time getting around. I'm gonna be that lady.
I'm not one to speak. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not even that. I mean, everybody's getting up there. You know, I mean, he was older than everybody in the movie, wasn't he? So,
but his personality, what saved it? His charisma's still there because even just hey, everybody, hey, give Leia my love. You know, like just the
I know. And she's like, I don't know who my parents are. He's like, well, why don't we find out, baby?
I know this. That was the creepiest.
Well, he didn't say baby, but I mean, so he might as well.
Basically, yeah. It's basically
it's like you hear a Colt 45 open sound effects just as he's saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh man.
But so, you know that whole weird thing though. According to cutscenes. I guess she's Lando's daughter. And the whole reason that is because Lando's family was kidnapped, or killed. His wife was killed. His children were taken away by the Empire.
Spoiled the whole, spinoff. What is it?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. And then so for some reason, because they're force sensitive or something like that, that's why she's drawn to, like, there was a lot of things that as I've read about it, I'm like, wow, they left that out. Which would have filled in some blanks, but, just like, what's his name was the secret that he was gonna kept telling Rey was that he was force sensitive. Like that was the big secret. I thought it was that he was gonna say he's in love with her or something, but it was that, that he's force sensitive. But then, it was like a lot of weird things like that. I'm sorry.
No, I just was going to say, speaking of in love with and everything, I didn't like how Finn never got a resolution. Like, he never talked to Rey about his feelings. And I did love that Poe was so like, why? What are you going to say? What are you going to tell her? What are you going to tell her? And I love how much like Oscar Isaacs has been like, no, I don't understand why Poe and Finn can't have a relationship. They obviously like have feelings for each other. And I'm like, oh, that would have been so great. But either way, like, it's kind of shitty that Finn never got to actually like have that moment with Rey, even if she wasn't going to reciprocate. You know, like it was all it just felt like a loose end. You know, like he just feels like a loose end
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird. So, because I mean, that's why he starts the movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
and that's
he
the whole
starts
reason
the first,
why
the new series.
Like mm-hmm. the whole reason why he supposedly came to life in the first movie, stopping stormtroopers, because he right. sensed the Force and he woke up and so that. But somebody mm-hmm. said something. I don't remember who it was that talked about. They thought the greatest idea would have been if when those soldiers were saying, that why they defected, if they had mm-hmm. said, you know, like saying, oh, you were a troopers too. If they had said, all they would have said is we heard about this one soldier.
Yes,
FN
agree. That would have been nice.
And that inspired us. And it would have been like that alone would have like filled in his purpose mm-hmm. in a way, because he would have inspired mm-hmm. like this whole troop of you know,
yeah.
people to defect, you know.
That's a really good thought, Rich.
Yeah, so it's too bad they didn't do that. Yeah.
You should write a script.
I should write a script, yeah. I have an idea. but again, all those things aside, it was still great to see. The other weird scene was when Chewbacca, not weird, but it was sad to see Chewbacca's reaction to when Leia died.
He's stomping around and being sad. Yeah.
But then someone else said, they said, he's upset because he's like, Leia's gone. I don't even like these people I'm with. You know, he's paying
stuff. I have to say, though, I really did love the moment at the end, the climax, when Rey is getting up and has all of the voices of all the old Jedis from it sounds like every canon piece there. Like, there's people from Clone Wars. There's people from the films. I don't know what else, but like, I had to.
There's
I
a little redhead from
voices.
From Hook. I believe in you, Rey.
I know, yeah.
But like, I totally got chills. I was like, yeah, that's like all so perfect. You know, I don't know. I thought it was special, even though it was cheesy. I felt like it was, you know, it was the right cheesy ending to this very cheesy trilogy. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
although I would have liked to, like, I like that too, but how cool would it have been in that moment just to do what they did in Lord of the Rings with all those ghosts? If you just saw them behind her.
I know.
Right? Like, because you don't even have to really have them there. That could all just be from the older footage, you know, and just hologram.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
That would
I was
like,
surprised that we didn't see more blue people. Like, in general, in this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be, like, a crowd at the end. Like when she's looking into the sunset, and it was Leia and Luke, and like they're her like parents.
I know, yeah, that was creepy, right? Yeah, we finally got together. Imagine,
remember that kiss?
No. Yeah, everything works in the blue world. You know, oh my god.
But blue world, blue world becomes Pornhub.
But
oh my god!
I even like that scene when they were training, because I don't know if you I think Jackie I told you about this book Splinter of the Mind's Eye, but
Alan
Dave
Foster.
I don't know if you remember the cover of that
mm-hmm.
where it mm-hmm. was like they looked like they were dressed from that era, like that.
Oh yeah,
it was amazing looking.
The young Luke and Leia training. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I want a whole series of that.
Right. Yes.
Even if it's like, you know, 5-minute episodes, each with just a lesson of him training her, you know, mm-hmm. Or just them sharing training, because he's still learning too. I mean, even though he's been through all that shit, he's still learning too. He's like, so it's still kind of. It would be. I love that scene. I'm like, God, I wish that was a TV show or something.
Yeah,
I wish, but then when they do it, they'll, who knows?
But then, and that's the other thing too, the space Leia thing in the second movie, they fixed that in a way they explained it with all the healing things that everybody can now do, which we didn't know about.
Right. That would have been helpful in some earlier installments. But,
although To be fair, they did say, I saw some article saying something about it, but what's his name? When Luke gets knocked out by the sand people, Ben touches his head and kind of wakes him up.
Doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. So maybe it's a form of his healing. Maybe Luke had a concussion and he healed that concussion. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, the thing that is really nice is that not only does Disney have all of the money in the world to throw at anything that they want to do, but there are so many different formats that we could see some of these iterations in. We could see this as a video game if they don't feel like, a movie. Awesome. Like, wouldn't that be a cool video game? Train with Luke and Leia? You know what I mean? Like, that would be cool. And definitely within the scope of reason, Carrie Fisher's voice obviously would have to be duped, but, it could happen.
Yeah, they could do it.
It could happen.
I mean, that game is really...
I know, I was going to say.
Yeah, something fun that... Yeah, I just got the action figure of him today, actually.
Oh, did you?
Store.
That's cool.
But, you've got to play that game. the main one that he's walking around with the vest. Yeah.
Oh, right on.
But
it's
great.
Yeah, it's basically Uncharted and Tomb Raider.
Yay!
Yes.
And Bloodborne, I guess you could say, because the combat is pretty difficult. When you're fighting, for me it was. I mean, shit, I'm not really that great maybe it's just I'm getting older. I'm not as good at games as I used to be, but. I don't play them as frequently, but I do love to play them. And I had to, lower the difficulty some because it was pretty rough. So this freaking first toad that I fight, this big toad monster thing,
whooped
my ass. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like the beginning of the damn game. it has Uncharted spectacle. I mean, like, it's just like it is, but it turns it up. There's so many wonderful set pieces and
with Spider-Man in a way too, with the new Spider-Man kind of thing, because you can also level yourself up with force points and learn different moves and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, new powers and things. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. And that is amazing. And then there's Tomb Raider's exploration essentially. Mm. So like there's lots of little nooks and crannies in the game. I mean, not as much as I would love because I'm pretty much. I think I've almost got everything in there but it's like there's little hidden areas that you can find and it requires some skill. You jump around and solve a little puzzle or solve some kind of environmental thing. And those are the things I loved about playing in Tomb Raider. So, and they have this in the Star Wars universe. And then the combat, though it's difficult, it is really satisfying. I don't know, Richard. I mean, it's
interesting. Jedi. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I didn't find I didn't find it too difficult, but I did find my navigation skills. Like, just trying. The map leaves a lot to be desired. They needed to.
Right.
They needed to make that a little clearer because I was like, where the fuck am I? Like, I was like circling around like some of these jungle areas.
Yeah. And you end up having to backtrack, and then like when you're done with something, and there's certain things that can be a little tedious, and I'm sure they'll address it all in the next game.
Sometimes we actually
have a decent one.
That's true. And then sometimes you would walk and you would be on the next mission, but because you walked too far or you walked out of the game part that you should be in. And so sometimes that I needed to be pushed back a little bit because I would do something that was not I wasn't really ready for yet, and then I'd have to go backtrack, go finish my mission, then do that again. That was my only issue with some of that stuff, but again, it was still a lot of fun. I mean, I say that, and meanwhile, I'm playing Death Stranding, and I'm just that's essentially just walk. I'm getting all my exercise by just turning on the video game and walking all over the place with that game.
A lot of people will make a joke about how it's just a walking simulator, but I'm like, yeah, but it's got all this crazy Kojima shit. If you get, you got to be into the crazy Kojima shit. The story's nuts.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's so nuts. I'm not even sure what's like. Anyone asked me what it's about, and I've been playing it for a month and a half now, and I still don't understand. I mean, I know the basic premise, but I really don't. I don't know how to explain the details. Like, it's so.
No, there's
like
no
people
way.
People say, "Well, what's happening?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, well, there's this black stuff, and it. Well, what are this? What's the black stuff? It's tar. I mean, I don't. You know.
And then there's these handprints, and then these creatures you can't see, but they're crazy. And then there's all kinds.
And somehow I've turned my. My urine and my feces into bombs like that people want.
Oh my god.
Like, I don't know how to explain this game. It's a really good game. It's really Del Toro has a much bigger part than I expected him to have too in the game.
Yeah.
But it is definitely, there's a lot of patience required. And the amount of times I've fallen and hurt myself and the baby's crying and I'm like, just shut up, you know. Part of me, it's like it's so funny because I come home, take care of the kids and all that, just so that it's relaxing time. Let me put on a video game where I have to do chores, pick up stuff, and take care of a baby. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't wait to play it though. But even the trailer, the last trailers that came out took a lot of patience. There were like some 10-minute trailers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you, Kojima, but come on, man.
I can't wait to get into this, you know, 90-hour video game.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I've been trying to play through these games to so I can get to it. I played about five or six hours of Death Stranding, and I was loving it. But I'm like, I know that I have at least another 100 hours to this game. And I have these three other games that I'm dying to play at the moment.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure they didn't fall by the wayside, you know, because
what else is relatively on your list?
Well, I played Outer Worlds, which is great, and I think you both would enjoy it a lot because you both have played Fallout and you both love Firefly, and it's pretty much Firefly Fallout mashup. It is you build a crew, you fly around in a spaceship that looks like the freaking Serenity, and you can. You can get into or out of fights by just your charisma. They really worked the dialogue this time around where there were times where I barely had to get into any kind of altercations because I boosted up, you know, the proper stats to have good conversations with people to the point where I was like, I talked my way into a lot of situations, but you can go in all guns a-blazing, but also there's like, you know, fun, you know, story things and fetch quests. Same thing, like it's just Fallout. And it's not as long as some of these other games. It's relatively short. So it's like you can get through it and feel like you don't have to take your entire life to get to the end of the game.
It's funny how valuable that can be. That's what I've been looking for in my games lately, too.
Yeah. So that I played through, and then I just finished the Star Wars game, which is great. So now I'm like, should I get into Death Stranding, or should I play? I'm definitely not going to do The Witcher. Toss a coin to your Witcher. Sorry. But I'm not, I can't do that. But I'll probably finish Devil May Cry 5 and then get into Death Stranding because I was having a lot of fun with Devil May Cry.
Yeah, I haven't played any of those yet. I'm so behind. I'm really out of the loop. But I do have No Man's Sky on my docket.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Which I know is like mixed reviews on that one for sure. But I feel like it's going to be good for me.
It is the most wonderful comeback story ever. It started out, people were like, this is a shit game. This is not what they promised. And then they decided to keep supporting the game. And the company just kept putting out update after update. And now it's like a completely incredibly robust experience. And it's got VR, if you ever get the PSVR. And it's like, it's just wonderful. It's a great experience. I envy you because you're going to be playing it for the first time. That's awesome. Yeah.
And then I just finished playing Bendy and the Ink Machine, which actually was a great surprise. Like, awesome. I knew that it looked interesting, but it was really compelling. It's definitely not a game where it's not super challenging. And I don't mean to say that in a derogatory way. It's just you're really there for the ambiance and the story and just that environment where you feel like you're an illustrator, like someone who is basically someone who worked for a Walt Disney type, you know, animation studio. And you're going back to this dilapidated studio and the it's just so creepy. It's all this very like black and sepia tones, and everything has that very like the golden age cartoons kind of era,
like those Betty like, Boop, yeah. or like the
Betty
the
Boop
clown.
Like but like early Betty Boop,
or Felix,
you know what
Felix
I mean?
Is like, it kind of like the early...
yes, yes,
kind of like
very much like
too,
that,
like that, mm-hmm. like the way Cupheads yes. kind of looked.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Only yep, it's twisted and there's ink everywhere. Everything is like covered in ink. And it's very like, it was an indie game that originally was released in installments. There's 5 chapters. So it was like, they would release a chapter and then, you know, make the second chapter and then, you know, release that one and so on and so forth. It was basically a guy, made this. And it's one of those great stories where I guess he was working on it. The first chapter he did while he was working somewhere else full time, like at a bank or something. I don't remember exactly what he was doing, but it gained so much traction that he ended up, I think, getting to do it full time. I could be conflating 2 stories, but I'm pretty sure that that was correct. And it's just, they almost couldn't keep up with how popular it was getting. So it's interesting because if you look at any of the YouTube stuff for when it was first released, you'll notice differences in the game if you buy it now. Like what I bought was a complete game with all 5 chapters. And some of the stuff that I've looked at for lore and backstories and things like that are different. Like they went back and reskinned some things. They added some things. They changed some things. But it was really interesting and really a lot of fun. The only thing that I didn't necessarily, I was a little disappointed in was that there's 2 different paths you can choose at a certain point in the game, where you can choose the path of the angel or the path of the demon. And I was so excited. I'm like, oh, this is going to have great replay value. You know what I mean? And so I went through the path of the angel, and which was saving this Alice Angel character that was very like Betty Boop, but twisted again. And, you know, whatever. It's super cool, though. And then when I went back and replayed it again, which the story for anyone who's played it knows, but it's got a very, it really wants to pull you back in for replay after replay. Like the story itself wants you to keep going again and again. You know what I mean? But when I went back to play the other version, like when I went to take the path of the demon, it was really like one room was different. And I was like, you can't be shitting me. It's just like the same goddamn experience. I just took a different room to get there. Like
that's
there
funny.
Was a different like audio log and stuff like that. And I got a trophy for doing it, but I'm just like, that doesn't really, like, I really thought there was going to be like a whole different quest line.
Minutes of extra content.
It's yeah. fine. But yeah, but it did have a lot of different gameplays, lots of puzzle pieces, lots of different things like that. But it also had that great Alien Isolation feel where there's a monster, very Silent Hill, where like, you know, Pyramid Head would just come and, you know, but like in the Alien Isolation way where you have to get away because if he sees you, you're done for. And that's Bendy and that's the ink monster. And really interesting. Like, I don't know. I probably spent too long talking about it, but only because it's definitely worthwhile for anybody who likes those weird little indie games. And they are going to be making a second one, which I think is either coming out later this year or next year. I'll have to look into the dates on that. But I would definitely recommend it. It only took me a day to play. Granted, I was playing it all day because I tend to do that with games. Like, I'm like, this is what I'm doing. It's my day off. I'm going to spend 7.5 to 8 hours doing this one thing.
That's nice.
But it was doable. You know what I mean? And if you want to play a chapter a night, that's doable too. It's like watching a movie every night. 5 nights, you'd be done.
I have to say, it's great.
The only way I've gotten to play Death Stranding so much is because I really play it on my iPad because they've now done this thing where you can, you know, not only can you connect your controller Bluetooth to your iPad, but there's a PS4 app that you open and it's essentially playing your PlayStation from anywhere. And it's funny because, I can't get away with, like, at work, I was playing one day and I forgot I left the TV on at home. And so in the room where we had the game, so all of a sudden Jen just heard like all of this video game stuff happening. And she thought she called and she's like, somebody's like broken into your video. Like somebody's playing it. I don't understand. I'm like, oh, that's me. I'm playing here. But it's so seamless. Like there's no, I haven't noticed any kind of latency issues anything. So that's how I've been able to play that. And that's how I played Star Wars Jedi as well. Like the I played the whole game.
Oh, you literally played through your iPad? That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so
even
funny.
When I'm home. It's so funny because it's, I'll be home and I'll be, you know, it'll
what
be
What if that's
be
why
late
it wasn't
night.
As hard? The controls are different.
Well, no, it's the same because you're using you're still using your controller.
Oh, you're still using, okay.
Yeah. Oh God, I could never use the on-screen controls.
I don't understand how you're doing.
Oh my God, yeah, no. Yeah,
oh, okay, yeah. I was going to say, I'm like, damn, you're good because I fucking sucked with my controller.
Yeah,
you
no,
would, like,
I would never.
With your iPad. Like,
yeah, no, God, no. No, they, the last update to the iPad or whatever the software was, they allowed third party and PlayStation controllers to connect
cool.
to your iPad through the Bluetooth. So, which that made, because there was all these tricks you could do to use your controller where you had to sign into somebody else and be, you mm-hmm. know, then go back and, but now it works, you know, it works well. But I'll be in the living room playing it and it's only one room away and it's just easier to, you know, to play it
yeah.
over there than it is.
That's so funny.
So.
And okay. So this is something else that I'm like, okay, this is not a new thing. This is such a like, people are probably going to blast me for saying this even at all, but it had actually been probably about 10 years aside from like PC gaming. But when I was actually console gaming, it had probably been about like 7 to 10 years since I got and invested in a nice pair of headphones and actually was playing with headphones instead of just, you know, the regular, you know, just watching TV and playing video games. And man, I was really cheating myself by not doing that sooner because, you know, the people put so much effort in the sound design of these games and it really does enhance your experience and it's politer to, you know, more polite to the people in your apartment also, but
right,
yeah,
especially
I know.
For any games
I've been doing that too,
like,
so my wife could take
vibes.
Like a nap while I play something,
yeah,
pop my headphones on,
yeah.
My
I'm so used to being deaf so much, so to speak. Like, because I usually have to keep everything low, that everything's always subtitled for me. So I just use most of the time, I'm just reading the subtitle. So I miss out probably on a whole part of a game that I don't even.
It's like the lamest recommendation ever, because again, it's nothing new. But I highly recommend
wearing headphones while playing.
Wearing headphones while playing the game.
Now describe these headphones. Do they go over your mouth?
Do they go over both of your ears?
Yeah. How can you hear them? How can you hear them when they're over your eyes?
This is what I'm saying. I get it. I just was cheating myself by not using them and wanted to be like, you know what? If anybody else out there is doing themselves a disservice that I was doing.
Yeah, I know.
Just bite the bullet and get some nice headphones. Yep.
I know. It does
it's
make
a good recommendation.
Even with music. Like, because I, you know, the only time I would really get using headphones, because I can't do it at work, but when I was mowing the lawn or doing something outside, it's like that was when, or when I'd work out, you know, that was when I was getting to hear my music on headphones, because. And it thought that makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much, you know. Although I have a weird problem now, which I didn't realize. Apparently there's something wrong with my iPhone where I just get the left speaker. And no matter what settings I've changed, apparently I've been listening to music like when I was 6 years old and my record player stereo only had the left speaker working. You know, because I've noticed it on an album that has like where they separated the stereo where something happened. And I'm like, why can't I hear that over there? You know, like, that's weird.
That's
when I realized there's something wrong with my phone.
That's crazy.
Or software, who knows? But so now I've been diving and, you know, I think I'm doing all this stuff because I've finally relaxed in terms of, you know, I always kept my mind busy with, oh, I need to write. I need to do this. I need to do that. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm retired. Because I feel like I finally stepped back and just started watching things without any kind of intention or trying to fix it, you know?
Just actually let yourself enjoy it.
Yeah, and not think about everything else I should be doing. And I've just been been able to get through these video games, but also I've seen a lot of shows. Like right now, a show I never would have thought I would have even given 2 seconds to, but I'm on the third season of The Crown. which
oh, cool.
it is a great show. I'm really surprised of how good of a show. I mean, I shouldn't be.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, it's the only jarring thing about it is, you know, every 2 years or the plan is every 2 years, they're going to change the cast instead of aging the younger cast.
Oh, okay.
So like the person who was playing the queen for the first two seasons is now played by someone else, like, or even Matt Smith was playing,
right.
The Duke, he's now somebody else, you know, like
a little on the nose for Matt Smith, don't you think? A little,
yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of it like that.
That's funny. They should
have gotten David Tennant or Peter Capaldi to play.
Would have been great.
So, was there any shows you guys have been watching?
I've been a TV monster lately because I was sick this past weekend, and even before that, with the move. And like unpacking, I actually had a few weeks off before I had to start work again. So while I was unpacking and stuff, I was drawing a lot, just had like TV on in the background. I've gotten through like, I'm like 3.5 seasons into, How to Get Away with Murder. the new Sabrina season 3 I watched. What else did we watch? I watched something
by the
else
way,
I
just so you
the
know
the politician. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to see that one. Just so you know though, Jen, if I would accidentally erase or remove How to Get Away with Murder from our DVR, I would Jen would already know what to do, apparently.
It's so cheesy. It is
she
just,
loves
it
that
is a
show.
Soap opera.
Yeah.
This is soap opera. I'm like, oh, it was perfect for being sick on the couch, but not something I would probably really recommend. You know, like it's just,
so
it's
funny.
Like junk food TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The politician I wish was better, but I'm interested to see where they go with it. It's definitely one of those, what's his name? Ryan Murphy vehicles where it's got a lot of amazing people in it. It's got Ben Platt, the guy from like Pitch Perfect and stuff. The male actor there that has a great voice. But it has people like Gwyneth Paltrow, Bette Midler is in it for a while. Dylan McDermott's in it. God, I don't even know. Like people just kept showing up and I'd be like, oh my God, what is this?
Is there an older, like Jamie Lee Curtis or Angela Houston, like some Angelica Houston was, or am I thinking of something else?
No, Jessica Lange.
Okay, that's who it is.
Yeah. So for, you know, it again, great cast. It has a very like election vibe to it, that which I actually hated that movie growing up. So like the one with Matthew Broderick and Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. Reese Witherspoon.
I love that movie.
I hate it. I could give it another chance now, but I remember just it bothered me. She bothered me so much. But it's very much like, that's what I remember, but it's been so long since I've seen that. It just could be me. And both that and Sabrina season 3 really forced in music. And it was funny because it's like, it felt very Smash in that way, where it's not like they sang every episode, but it's like they would use contemporary songs sometimes, or even like in Sabrina, they did a Sweeney Todd song or something like that. But like,
oh, really?
It just felt like, so it's just that you had these actors and you wanted to showcase their voice, like that Mandy Patinkin thing, like where he has to sing a song in the contract and doesn't actually forward the story. Although in The Politician, like I actually liked the music that they picked and same thing with Sabrina. So I can't really say too much. Well, for the most part, they did like a Hey Mickey thing and they did a couple things in Sabrina season 3 that were not really. Not really.
Well, I hope say that about Mandy Patinkin. I hope he wasn't singing on that show. What's that one that he's on HBO, the terrorist one where they're torturing somebody every week?
Oh my gosh, what is he on?
I can't think of the name of it.
Homeland.
Yeah. Homeland.
Yeah, I did watch all that. I don't know why I was like thinking of like, oh, there's a new one.
Oh my God.
No, he's great. He plays somebody named Saul in there. He's one of the best characters in that show.
Did you see the what's his name? Mulaney.
The Sack Lunch Bunch?
Yes, John Mulaney. There's a little kid in there who's like obsessed with Mandy Patinkin, who just talks about that. Do you know what that
and
is?
And that's all genuine. Did? Oh my God.
No, I haven't seen that at all.
So
it's
think
so
of,
good.
It's really funny, but it's he's kind it's it's not a parody. It's almost like it's a real show, but he did like this kids show, almost like a Free to Be You and Me or a one of those shows like Wonderama or things where little kids are around. And then he's talking to the kids, except the subject matter is not anything that they would have ever talked about because it's so sarcastic
what is it called?
You have to just see it.
John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix? All right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And it's not even that long. It's like a movie. You know what I mean? It was like an hour and a half or something. I don't think it was even a full 2 hours.
Yeah, definitely. I don't even know if it was an hour and a half. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was like an hour 15, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
But it's just like that Stephen Bang special.
So funny. Yeah.
Yes.
Banks, 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 banks. But not like that, favorite. But not like that. Because it's definitely, it's like when you see it, like you wouldn't be able to describe it to people. But when you see it, you're automatically going to say, oh, I remember watching this type of thing, you know, like,
yes.
And the fact that it's kind of a parody of that, but it doesn't ever think of itself as a parody.
It's, it's self-aware, but not in a way that's like in your face. Like it talks about like, so is this ironic or is this not? Like in the first 5 minutes of them like being on there. And honestly, the little interviews with the children is hilarious. And I've seen a couple different things with him too. That's all genuinely them. Like it's not a script. It's not prompted. Like it's just genuinely, cause he's asking them about like death and their fears and like serious stuff. It's not just like, what do you do after school, little boy? You know what I mean? It's more about like, what are you afraid of? And they have some funny, cute answers, and then some genuinely like real
dark
answers. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check it out.
There's like little skits that are well thought out and real, because and then there's just like you should definitely check it out. It's worth seeing.
I'll put it on.
I love John Mulaney. He's like one of my faves.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch The Witcher?
Yes.
I haven't. No. Guys, I'm sure Jackie has.
Even better if John Mulaney was in it. Definitely watch The Witcher.
I can't take what's his name seriously.
Well, you don't like the way he talks.
Oh my god.
He's sour. I so dislike him as Superman.
I know.
I just see him and I don't want to watch that show.
I have a strong distaste for him as a person, which is sad because there's things that I hear. There's like, he's made comments about things that just like, as a lady, I'm just like, it wouldn't be a problem if you weren't gross. You know what I mean?
But
he also says things that like, he loves Lord of the Rings. Like, isn't he a big gamer? Like he was playing World of Warcraft when, you know, they offered him the Superman role. He should be my guy, but
he feels like the type of guy that if you saw him and you walked up to him and you say, I'm a real big fan of Superman, he'd say like, oh, thank you very much, fuck off, you know, like that's the look he has on his face.
The thing about The Witcher though, like I really did end up enjoying it, but man, it took me a minute because
me too.
Holy shit, those first few episodes, I don't even know if it actually got better or it just like, you know, you get used to it.
I think you get used to it.
That's funny. It was really good. I think it's just like, you just get used to what it is.
I liked a lot of the stuff that was happening. I liked a lot of the people in it. He doesn't. Oh, you don't like Yennefer?
No, Yennefer was fine. I hated the little girl.
Oh, And she's supposed. The thing is that I haven't played much of the other game, like the third game.
I haven't played any of the game.
So, I know these. I've encountered these characters and stuff, but I don't like. I'm not like, you know, the Witcher genius. I don't know anything about it. But the show, what it has in its favor is that it doesn't even though it focuses on him. It still takes time to focus on other characters as well.
Right.
So it feels like an ensemble. So like just when you're getting annoyed with him, they move on to another person and you end up following other people and you're like, okay, that's cool. Like I wasn't expecting to get like Yennefer's background and her, like this whole transformation right. she goes through. And I really right. enjoyed that episode. Cool. I'm like, okay, I kind of like this show now. And then
yeah.
it kind of goes up and down. There's moments I really enjoy and there's times I'm just like,
yeah.
all right, is this boring? And what am I doing? What am I doing with my
yes!
life?
But there's just, like you say, you get used to it. Like you're in a dental.
But there's enough.
You get used to it.
It's true. It's true. But you, yeah. but there are good things in it enough to warrant yes. watching it. And that, and, yeah. and I have a feeling that the second season will be better because of it, because it has a problem with narrative, where it yeah. jumps in time too much and it doesn't really indicate the time jump. So you're like, what have I been watching yeah. this whole time?
It really does. It definitely jumps around a lot. It's interesting yes. too. What was I going to say? Oh, it feels like a modern day, like Hercules and Xena in how cheesy it is. But if B. Arthur was the main character, no. you know what I mean? Like, just like totally flat, straight yeah. man. You know what I mean? Just
yeah,
like,
he's very flat.
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, the video game character has a bit more depth than he does, and he's doing the same performance.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
doing the
I
same
haven't
performance.
Played the game.
But the game, mm-hmm. He comes off as mysterious and intriguing. Mm-hmm. And this yeah. is just Henry Cavill and his dimple.
Yeah, nah. I know. That fake ass voice.
Well, he's just talking like this.
He's just talking like this.
It's like
so
you're not
sounds
Solid
like
Snake.
Batman. Essentially, is that what it is?
It's like Solid Snake and what's his name?
Like
Sojourner.
It's genuinely good video game voice. Yeah, like yeah. it is good video game voice. It's just yeah. it's tough. I don't know. It's like again, you get used to it, and so it doesn't actually bother me now anymore.
Right.
But it really bothered me at first, and that whole show really bothered me at first.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It was kind of tough getting through the first episode. I'm like, all right, I got through the first one. Let me try the second one.
Oh my god.
I like the
queen,
second one.
And... though. The queen that like the blonde's mom, like
right.
she, I literally almost left. I was like, I don't know, babe.
Wow.
You might watch this on your own. It was yeah. so much.
It was a bit much.
It was a bit much. She was playing to the back row, let me tell you.
Yeah. This is her shot. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. And then that fucking song, the song that stuck in my head. I am telling you, for 3 weeks straight, it was stuck in my head on loop.
God.
And I couldn't get it out of my head. And it's not
oh,
even a good song.
Funny.
It
no,
just,
it's not.
Over. It's over and over and over again.
Why
I dare not sing it.
Yeah. No. Too funny though. You gotta watch it, Rich. You have to. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's one of those pop culture things. That yeah. is just a necessary evil.
Well, I do have
but
some
there's good things in the show,
so maybe I'll watch it on the TV in there while the dentist is working yeah. on my teeth.
You know what was actually a genuinely good evil though is that I finally got around to watching Midsommar, which
oh, nice.
I felt was ooh
yeah,
just
that's a good one.
The right kind of crazy like.
Yeah.
There are a lot of movies that try and go that weird cultish route that's like that slow burn type of movie, but it just ends up being slow and you just
yeah,
end up
yeah.
being like, it's just too boring. You know, I know something weird's going to happen, but mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to stick around for it. Whereas this one I felt was paced in a really yeah. interesting, like even way. I was involved, I was invested, and I really liked where it went.
Yeah, it's a long movie. So, it keeps you completely.
Yeah,
you're enraptured in it completely. Like I loved it.
High marks.
I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really, really yeah. good stuff. That high one marks. I saw. I got to see. What's it? 1917 on the big screen.
Oh, I want to. I want to see
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. That's definitely
yeah.
an event. It's very cool. It's not even just the technical aspects of it because everybody's like, oh my god, it's like one shot, and oh my god, it's beautiful. But it's also just like a really compelling movie. Like it's you are with these guys for this journey, and you feel like a companion, and you feel like you go through this. And there's some awe-inspiring moments. It's just one of those
awesome.
Spectacle films that it'll look great on your TV, but it looks amazing mm-hmm. in the theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
definitely gotta check that out. Definitely gotta check
that
out.
Do you want to go see that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I wanted to go see. I was funny because I had a choice of going of seeing Star Wars a second time or seeing Cats, and I chose Star Wars. But I was so curious about Cats.
I really want to see it.
I'm curious, too.
I really want to see it, but I really wish I had seen it before they sent out the patch. You know what I mean? Like, I wish seen it before the fixes.
I'm still, it'll be just as wacky. I'm sure.
I am going to see it. I just don't know if I can give it money.
Go to a rally training. I hear the rally
training. I saw a picture of Judi Dench's hands. That was one of the things they fixed. Yeah. I guess her hands weren't covered up or something.
It's people hands. So,
like, you know what I did
out,
see?
Shit it out! Get it out! Christmas!
Yeah.
So funny.
I don't know if you guys have Apple Plus. They don't have enough content. Like, I think it's not even that expensive, but it's still a monthly charge. So you may want to just give it a month try or something. But the M. Night Shyamalan show, The Servant, was such a, it was a weekly show, but I think it would work just as well watching it, you know, binge. That was really good. It's really interesting. I heard there's a second season, but I don't know. If it's going to be, I don't know if it continues the story or something new, but it was a really interesting show. Like, it's a hard show to talk about, but definitely, you're tense and you don't know why. You ever watch something like that where you're just, you're just waiting for something to happen and you're just, you know, it's kind of that feel, but it was very well done. So I'd recommend that. And I saw the other show, the morning show, which was good. I don't have any problems with that one at all. I didn't feel like I wasted time, you know. But
that's good.
Yeah, I know. That's quite an endorsement, right?
It was a complete piece of shit.
It's well done. It's just it's just after a while you're like, man, that's, you know, God damn it, men are horrible. You know, like you just you just want to. You know, you need a break from all of the Harvey Weinstein world, you know, and that's happening in this show. But but it was good. I'm even trying to think that movies wise, like
Lost
besides
in Space?
Star Wars,
have you guys seen Lost in Space?
I can't even. No, I haven't.
Oh,
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, Lost in Space. That was good. I liked the first season. I liked the second season.
I'm almost
all about
done with
that
the second
robot
season.
Shit.
Yeah, I did. I dig
nice.
It.
I liked it. Well, we watched Dr. Sleep. That was really good. It's on Amazon now. Really liked that. I thought that was very well done.
I saw Aladdin.
I loved Aladdin. I have to say, like, it was of all of those movies, though, like of all of the Disney ones that they turned into real life, this was the best one
the most
of those,
successful.
Though.
Yeah, it's probably the most successful one.
Because
I haven't watched all of them. But I did watch that one.
I thought you liked that one. You didn't like that one? I was surprised
you know
I liked Will Smith.
I mean, it's not the original.
Fine. It was fine. Yeah. It was fine. It's just, was very, like, I don't know. I kind of got pissed off about Jasmine, and I just, I don't know.
Oh, her.
Well, you know, it's like, you know what I felt about it? It's like, I thought Will Smith was great. I thought he was good. He really brought something to the character. I thought he was fun. Yeah. I thought the visuals were amazing. I thought some of the, they changed the structure of it. So it felt weird. Like the lines were being delivered very like weakly. Like it's like, almost like, okay, we got to say this line at this point. So might as well say it. And it's like, you know, and I found myself enjoying the film and I thought it was cute, but it was way too long. And then it's like, what was funny is like on Disney Plus, right afterwards, they suggest watching the original. And I watched the original right after this new one. And I was, it gets you right into it. I mean, the way that movie's paced, the way all the songs are delivered, it reminded me, that's why this movie's a classic. And it's like, this new one's even though it's a wonderful technical experiment, it's still not, it can't even come close, but you know, so like,
no, I don't think of it like that. Like, for me, I went in with my arms crossed. I really did because the kids wanted to see it, and we saw it in Dolby, that also helped the experience. But I was just surprised because every scene I saw leading up to it, I'm like, well, this looks like shit. Like every time I saw Will Smith scene, I'm like,
it definitely
my God,
was much better than it looked.
Yeah, and that's
for
that
sure.
really
it is definitely
threw
much
me.
Better than it looked.
because Beauty and the Beast, I don't hate it, but at the same time, I'm like, it's just kind of there, you know. And
yeah, what was the other necessary? Just a flex.
And Lion King, I like.
Look what we did.
I know, yeah. And Lion King too. You know, I didn't mind it, but I was a little disappointed with it because I thought it was going to be more exciting than it was. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of.
I haven't seen that one either.
It was kind of just there. You know, like whereas this one, I was like, oh, they did something. You know, like even the smart thing of doing that. You know, I can never remember the style of when he's running and jumping around buildings while he's singing.
Oh, the parkour.
What is that called? Mm-hmm. Yes. Parkour. I thought that was really smart to add that into that, you know, into the musical numbers. Like it worked.
I just wish they were better performers. Like he wasn't very charismatic and she was very flat. They're both good looking kids, but they weren't like, they didn't emote. When she's singing her songs, her arms are like down at her side. She's not emoting or anything. She looks terrified. Mm-hmm. And same thing with him. It's like he was singing these songs. And I'm like, you're supposed to be like, you know, spunky and fun. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. But the movie, I did watch the whole thing and I would watch it again. I think it's cute. So, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm saying all this shit. But...
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing too. I've seen all these so many times, like because of the kids. So I've seen all the good stuff. But at the same time, I've also seen, you know, I definitely understand what you mean. Like her songs, again, you know, I didn't connect with at all, and they still feel completely out of place and sound. Yeah. They don't sound like the other songs because they were written by other people. But you know,
exactly, they feel. I don't know. Maybe that's all I'm remembering. Maybe I liked it more, but that's just what, when somebody asks me about it, that's what I think of. So that's why I'm like,
my other complaint too, also, is that Jafar, the thing about Jafar, like, it's like he was, I didn't like him. You don't like him, but in the cartoon, he's charismatic. He's got a great voice and delivery, and like his expressions are so, you know, whatever. And this guy was just very flat and like, he just felt, you know, just, he was just unlikable. It's like, you know, we got to love the villain. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. It's like,
he was very GQ. He wasn't like this ugly, distorted kind of human being, you know?
Yeah.
No, he just looked like everybody else. So it's kind of, he kind of faded into the background. I thought the Iago voice things was pretty fun too, but that's it. Go ahead, speaking. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, speaking of villains, though, that reminded me that that Dracula miniseries on Netflix came out. Did you guys see that?
I haven't a chance to.
Oh, I definitely would recommend it. I actually really liked it. I thought that it was nice because it is the classic Dracula story. So, I mean, it has names of characters that you will recognize. Mm-hmm. And it has some of the original story in there, but it does try and go a different way. And I felt like that was kind of nice. I liked the way it did that. Because it's a three-parter, each one is a little bit longer. And then the third act is really where it shifts into something polarizing, where the showrunners decided to go in a very modern way with it, which not everyone is on board with. And I would agree to a point where I would say the first two episodes are my favorite for sure. But I still was happy with where they went just because it was something different. I hadn't seen it before. I hadn't seen that specific take. And for a story that is so well known, that's pretty unique. So I really liked it. I would recommend. And what else? Oh, You. That was the other thing. I binged the first two. Well, there's only two seasons of You. I'm telling you, I've seen so much TV in the last couple of months. I kind of need, like, I need to go on restriction. Like, but I actually enjoyed You more than I thought I would because I really rolled my eyes, like, so hard every time I saw. I would pass it in Netflix.
I don't even know what that is,
recommending it. It's like a show about a stalker. But it's told from his perspective, and he's giving the voiceover the whole time, and he's like a book nerd, so like he's well spoken, and he, it's interesting because like there's murders, like he kills people and he does all this stuff, but he's always doing it for a girl that he thinks he's in love with and doesn't realize that he's a sociopath, you know? And so it kind of feels like it's got a little bit of Dexter in it, but it also feels weird. Whereas, I don't know, I have a little hard time with that actor. I got over it again. Like, I know I don't mean to be so picky. I'm trying to stop being so picky about things. Like, just let people be. And like, you know,
why?
Like
which not, who plays the who plays the lead?
I don't know his name. I don't know his name. I would have to look him up. It's I only would know him from this. But he has a face that look. His bone structure does that thing that Guy Pearce does with his cheeks, where they have like it's like he's got these cheekbones, and then he's got these like I don't know. It's like his mouth muscles protrude on. Around his mouth,
yeah.
In a way, you know, yeah. And it sounds really weird when you say it that way. But if you saw a picture of him, you'd know what I'm talking about. And just
Guy
if you
Pearce is like
Guy Pearce, yeah.
Guy Pearce is like, what am I supposed to do? That's my well, skull.
Well, you know, okay, so this is really weird, but like, you know, your mouth is a sphincter, right? Like, it is that's
yes,
what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So all around your mouth, you have like muscles that contract and contort, and it's
well, it makes sense. All the bullshit I say all day.
You know, it's so lame. But anyway, I don't know. I'm guessing that that's the muscles that I see on some people who have that face, and it's almost like a feline thing. I don't know. Some people have that face, and he's one of those people that has that face.
And so you're saying that he has a sphincter face? Like, that's the newest insult I've ever heard.
Sphincter face.
Not really. Where
maybe it's
going
got
with
switched.
Yeah,
maybe
I
his
so.
Maybe his sphincter is actually his jaw.
Now I gotta look this guy up.
I don't know. You'll know what I'm talking about when you see him. But but yeah, it's fine. It's fine. The characters, like, some of them are great, some of them are not great, but it's overall, I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would, because I thought I was going to hate it, and instead I actually was, like, into it, and like, oh, what's going to happen next? Who are we killing today? And what are our you know?
But anyway, yeah, on that note, I guess we've smashed all the cuts we can smash, and I'm going to go smash some Z's. So we'll see you next time.